today on Real Radio.
You and I live in a timeline, and that's difficult for us. We think we know so much. I think we only know really what matters if we understand the Bible, because that's what lasts forever, the Word of God. And the study of the Bible is a noble thing because it's an eternal thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Why God Must Judge the Nations, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. The prophet Isaiah is very well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they don't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 14, we looked at how God will never give up on Israel. We also learned that Isaiah is now able to see behind the scenes of human governments and into the powers that pull the strings. The angel Lucifer was cast down from heaven and has deceived many nations and many of us. Satan, as he is called, is a very real, invisible enemy and will use lies and false doctrine of any sort against us. Now in chapter 15 through the beginning of chapter 16, we look at the nations that Isaiah speaks about that have important connections to Israel. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that we all serve someone or something that rules over us, but the nations who come against Israel and mistreat her people will be severely dealt with. So that brings up the question, could God bring judgment to America? God's people will suffer when their nation goes against him or goes against the nation of Israel. And now in his lesson called Why God Must Judge the Nations, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask God that you'd be the one tonight teaching us and speaking to us, Lord, from, of course, your word into our hearts. And Lord, that we would be people very careful to not look at this revelation of history and leave it alone at that, but understand that it is both history and it speaks to us now, and it will certainly apply to the future. So, Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, grab your Bibles and turn tonight to Isaiah chapter 15. Isaiah chapter 15 and 16. In fact, from Isaiah 15 out to about the 23rd chapter of Isaiah, there are messages given to various national players. And these nations are being addressed by the prophet Isaiah because of what the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, has determined. And what's amazing about this is everything that God speaks about. Church, listen, this is kind of fun to remember, that everything that Isaiah is speaking about regarding the nations that you're going to hear of starting tonight with Moab are all these nations that have had some relationship to Israel. Now make a mental note of that. These nations that Isaiah will speak to and prophesy to are all nations that have dealt with or had some sort of connection with Israel, good, bad, or ugly, neighborhood, surrounding area, or distant nations. The reason why they're in the Bible is because they had some dealing with Israel. The second thing is tonight that we're looking at nations that God judges. The Bible tells us that the God of the Bible will one day judge all nations of the earth, all of them. That's what the God of the Bible does when he comes in judgment. And so we're looking at a message entitled tonight, Why God Must Judge the Nations. Why God Must Judge the Nations. And we'll start in Isaiah chapter 15 to be looking at that. But make a note of this as well, that every nation has its history. That's kind of obvious, right? I mean, every nation has its history and every nation has its origins. Every nation on earth. God has established nations, the Bible says. And according to the Bible, he has predetermined their rise and their fall. Now, listen, he knows, by the way, this is no surprise to you guys, you're Bible savvy. God knew the rise of America. And listen, he knows the fall of America. Yes, America will fall. Every nation has its beginning and its peak and its failure. Every nation. And God knows throughout all of human history how nations come and how they go. And because God dwells in eternity, he knows everything that's going to happen. Nothing surprises him. He knows everything. In fact, where he lives, it's all happening in what's called the eternal now. Everything's happening to him now. Isn't that weird? World War II is happening now. The creation happens now. When you live in eternity as God does, everything is the now. There's nothing past, present, or future to God. How do you process that? I can't, you can't. We just understand what the Bible has to say about that. He lives in the eternal now. But you and I live on a timeline. We're like an ant walking around on your kitchen table. As far as that ant knows, his world goes that way and that way. Little does that ant know that you're looking at him on your kitchen table. You can see him. He's unaware of your presence, and you can let him live or you can squish him with your finger. But if you pick him up and move him somewhere, it's as though a miracle happened to that little ant because someone has stepped in and interrupted his world. You and I live in a timeline, and that's difficult for us. We think we know so much. I think we only know really what matters if we understand the Bible, because that's what lasts forever, the Word of God. And the study of the Bible is a noble thing because it's an eternal thing. But tonight we're going to be looking at and extracting out of, we hope, these two chapters anyway, the fact that God deals with nations. I think it was Billy Graham. I'm not sure exactly, but I think Billy Graham said something along these lines, that regarding the United States of America and God's ability and God's appointment to judge nations, that if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of that for a moment. Everything that happens nationally in nations, God is watching. So tonight, I hope we touch on some things that will help you and I fathom where we're going as a nation, and how does it affect you as a Christian if the Lord doesn't come back soon? So I want to give you a couple of examples, though, of how things are regarding God. Number one example, if you've ever been to England, one of the things that you're very aware of is how small England is. England. England is the birthplace of the British Empire, right? You know this. And I want to show you a map for a moment of the British Empire when it was at its peak. Go ahead and put it on the screen. You guys, if you look right almost in the middle of the map, up at the top, you're actually seeing in the middle what looks like two dots. It's above Spain. It's above France and those countries right there. That's England. In fact, technically, that's England, Scotland, and Wales. But England is the little red dot to the right. Think about how small that is. I mean, it's small, smaller than most of our states. The British Empire was born out of that little dot, and it expanded. And then, as you can see, it expanded into North America. You can see where are the colonies of the British Empire, the 13 colonies that later became the United States. You can see where it made its way into South America there, into Africa, India, and that part of the world, Australia, New Zealand, New Guinea, the South Pacific. The British Empire grew, prospered. By the way, brought Christianity to those nations, British Empire, from a little beginning to a vast influence in the world. And then, of course, it's waned, it's gone away, predominantly so. But all along the way, God has said in his word that he establishes boundaries and nations, and he judges those nations. And that's something to keep in mind as we look at this. Now, as we see that, and as we look here in Isaiah chapter 15, and we'll begin learning about Moab, we'll explain who Moab is. Keep this in mind. People adopt their god or gods. People do. They adopt their god or gods. It's in the human heart to worship. It's in the human heart pay some sort of homage or create the gods or a god. It's within us. So a nation or a culture is going to pick its god or its gods, and it's going to become, interestingly enough, like the god or gods it worships. It's human nature. The point is that whatever type of god or gods you worship, you become like those gods that you worship. This is the amazing thing about worship. If you worship the Lord God Almighty, if you worship the God of the Bible, that worship has built into it this desire to be like the God you're learning about. That's normal. We want to be like Jesus. We read the God of the Bible and we see his actions and we see his mercy and his compassion and his ways. And we want to be a follower of the God of the Bible. Well, nations don't always follow the God of the Bible, people. There are what's called pagan nations, godless nations. We say godless. They're godless when it comes to worshiping the God of the Bible, but they all have gods. Think about it. We think about North Korea right now, the most dangerous planet on earth to be a Christian, North Korea. What do they worship? They worship their leader. His picture's everywhere in the country. And people pay homage to him. And the dangerous thing about that is you become like the despot or you become like the one that you worship. It's the way that it is. Joshua chapter 24, just write this in the margins of Isaiah chapter 15. In Joshua chapter 24, the Bible tells us, verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord," says Joshua. "Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt." Serve the Lord, he said, verse 15. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Listen, whoever you are here tonight, you serve someone, something that rules over you. Joshua understands that. So Joshua is saying, pick whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, says Joshua, we will serve, and there is his name, Yahweh, the Lord, Yah. That's his name, the God of the Bible, Yah. So as we look at this, Isaiah chapter 15, I'm going to read a little bit and then extract out, if you would, and make this, I pray, applicable to us today. The judgment of the nation Moab. He says in verse 1, the burden or the judgment against Moab. And in your margins, write, circle the word Moab and put Jordan. You can put Jordan today. That's where we're heading. "Because in the night, Era of Moab is laid waste and destroyed, because in the night, Carib of Moab is laid waste and destroyed. He has gone up to the temple of Dibon." And I wanted to park right here for a second, you guys, because Dibon is an amazing geographical place. It's an actual place, factually found, archaeologically uncovered. In fact, the tablet of the Moabite or the Moabite tablet was unearthed there. And what's interesting about that is when you read, and I'm going to ask you to do this on your own, there's a lot of names in this chapter. If you circle those names, number one, note this, that these are actual geographical places that your old Bible makes mention of, but they are actually archaeological discoveries. That's what I love about your Bible. Your Bible is factual. These are real places. And this Moabite stone, you can look it up later on the internet or you can go to the encyclopedia. It's one of the first alphabets ever discovered on that tablet in human history. Prior to that, people wrote in symbols. But the Moabite stone actually introduced an alphabet. So why do we bring this up? Because we're talking about ancient civilizations. They had access to knowledge. They knew things. They were advanced for their day. But in all of that, they worshiped. And when the Bible tells us in verses 1 through 9 that this burden is against Moab, what we want to look at this evening is the fact that what God is announcing here is the fact that their departure from the true and living God led them into pagan worship. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they tried to pass through the land of Moab, and they refused them. They said, no, Israel, you can't pass this way. They mistreated Israel. Make a note of that. God never turns his eye away from nations that mistreat Israel. I'm not going to ask you tonight what your opinion of Israel is. It honestly doesn't matter to God. He's not swayed by your opinion of Israel. I'll come back to that more in the study tonight. But God says, strike one against Moab. And Moab is this area today. In fact, you guys, if you have the map, let's look at the ancient area of Moab, just so you have it in your mind's eye. Look at the green, the kingdom of Moab, Dibon. You see the star right there. If you look at the kingdom of Judah, it's kind of the flesh tone or pink color. So you're looking at much of the area we would say today central Israel. You look in the blue down at the bottom, the kingdom, the green and that turquoise color from what I can see. You see down in the bottom Petra? Did you guys see, and help me out here, because the movie escapes me, Indiana Jones, he's riding on the horse. He rides into this amazing Red Rock Canyon. You know what movie it is? Anybody? What movie is it? The Last Crusade, filmed in Petra. Unearthed, remarkable location. Why is that important? Because that blue and the green is what is Jordan today. And God has plans for Jordan in the future. So when we look at this prophecy, he's pronouncing judgment upon them because they are going to be attacked by invading nations. God knows about this, but the reason why they're being disciplined is because they had mistreated Israel. This is a very, very serious issue in our day today. It always is a serious issue. It's how do you treat the nation of Israel? God really cares, which brings about national judgment. So out of these two chapters, this is what I want to focus on tonight. What if God were to exercise national judgment today, right now, on the nations of the world? Let's say time is up and God begins to judge the nations of the world for how they treat Israel. Think about that for a moment, because he's going to do that someday. Jordan, or this kingdom, was severely dealt with because they mistreated Israel. When the Bible tells us that God says, I will bless those who bless you, he's speaking to Abraham and your descendants. If we mistreat the people of God, God deals with that. He's going to punish. And this announcement that Moab is going to be taken captive, they're going to be brutally dealt with, it's something that comes upon them because of their mistreatment of the nation Israel. So you stop and you think about Western nations today. Right now, you and I are living at a time that is quite unprecedented in our generation, where for the existence of our country, we have been pro-Israel in the defense of Israel. I believe that God actually established the United States of America for a lot of reasons. One of them is to be a covering for the rebirth of the nation Israel. I believe that. May 14th, 1948, the United States had the most major influential role in the birth of the nation of Israel, President Truman specifically. And listen, we were good to Israel. And again, I'm not asking you to agree with everything Israel does. I am asking you to agree with God, the God of the Bible. Why is this important? Because God brings national judgment. Question to you is tonight, could God bring national judgment to America? Do you think America is somehow exempt from God judging us nationally? Not only do I think he's going to judge the United States nationally, there's a whole lot of other issues as to why God would judge us. Abortion, we've perfected it. Just some of our policies, things that we've done as a people, as a nation. You say, well, Jack, wait a minute. I'm not to blame for that. Well, this is my point for the message tonight. I know you're not responsible for that. But when it comes to God judging nations, guess who suffers? God's people suffer when nations are judged by him. Did you know that? This is a sobering thing. Listen, a lot of people tell me, Pastor Jack, it's getting really bad, right? Yeah, it's getting pretty crazy out there. But the Lord's going to rapture us out of here, right? Well, he could rapture us out of here any old minute, but what are you implying? What are you suggesting? I can kind of feel what they're asking. It's getting kind of crazy, right? So that means before things get really bad here, we're not going to see that kind of stuff, are we? We're not going to see national judgment. Oh, no, I would never say that. God's people have always suffered under the hand of national judgment. Listen, your sins and my sins, we were forgiven at the cross. Our sins were dealt with at the cross. Our sins, your sin, my sin, done at the cross. Personally, done. But today, for example, there are Christians in nations that are suffering terribly, terribly, because those nations are under the judgment of God. Listen, Christians suffered terribly during World War II, for example, in Europe. God judges nations. If God begins to judge the United States of America, where does that put you and I as Christians? I'll tell you where exactly it puts us. Isaiah is a prophet during a time of Judah that is about to fall under the judgment of God's hands because Judah had forsaken the God of heaven. Are you with me on this? Watch this. He's a godly man. He's called by God. He loves the Lord. But Isaiah's going to be sawed in half. He's going to be, according to history, he's going to be put in a log and he's going to be cut in half. Did you know that? What about Daniel? Daniel was taken captive into Babylon. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Daniel was imprisoned at times. What about Joseph in Egypt? On and on it goes. Listen, we have been so blessed in this country up until late that we, as a people, we just expect things to go well. Those days, you people, are gone now. And God's hand is about ready to deal with this nation for how we've treated his people, not to mention the unborn. And he will chastise. If that comes to us in the near future, I want you to be not just surviving such days. I really believe this. If you don't believe this, then don't tell me, because I want to hang on to this. I believe that if it comes to us, our nation, then I believe that we are going to be just spirit-filled, on fire ministers to those that are hurting, to those that are in a panic over what's going on.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Why God Must Judge the Nations. Thanks for joining us today, and our hope is that during these uncertain times of nation rising against nation, you turn to Christ and allow him to save you from your sin. Why God Must Judge the Nations is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we've got a special offer for you from Pastor Jack, and I'd like to tell you about it. It's called Look What Jesus Christ Did. He Did an Amazing Work. And it's from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. In this four-part message on DVD, Pastor Jack explains exactly what Jesus Christ did for us and what the Bible teaches about eternity, redemption, water baptism, and so much more. Many of us know that Jesus Christ lived here on earth and that he died on a cross, but do we truly understand what he actually did? The Apostle Peter's very purpose for living was to boldly claim what Jesus Christ did for all of humanity. He died for both the just and the unjust by taking that debt that we owed to God for our sins and carried it to the cross. Jesus literally died in our place so that we could spend eternity in heaven with him. So again, this special four-part message is called Look What Jesus Did. He Did an Amazing Work from 1 Peter chapter 3. It's available for your gift of any amount, and you can get it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. When giving your gift, make sure you request Look What Jesus Did. He Did an Amazing Work. Get this special offer today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.